You're listening to episode 248 of Women Worldwide. What is a power conversation? How do you create first impressions that turn into lasting connections? Well, I've got a special guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for showing up, tuning in, and for sharing all of the stories of the amazing guests who come on this show. You are helping Women Worldwide to grow, and we appreciate that. Now, at the same time, we're listening and we hear you. You're sharing a lot of feedback. You're telling us what you love about the show, the types of guests who are helping you. And you know what that does? That helps us to continue to line up guests so that they can help fuel your passion and to power up your voice so that you can excel in everything that you do. You know what our goal is? It's to change lives one story at a time. Okay, let's dive into the topic and today's guest. The topic is power conversations, right? So how do you get there from those first impressions that you make in a relationship to lasting connections? And I've got the perfect guest who's joining me today to talk about power conversations. It's Dr. Karen Jacobson. Now, Karen is the author of a book that happens to be called Power Conversations, and she has a really rich and diverse background. She is an Israeli military commander. She is a doctor. She is also a champion ballroom dancer. And she takes all of this and integrates it into her work today as a keynote speaker at events, national conferences, and she also does high performance training. Now, throughout Karen's career, she has worked with thousands of clients, from healthcare professionals all the way to CEOs to best-selling authors and even to radio hosts. So I could say a lot about Karen, but I think it's time that she shares her journey with you. Karen, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. And thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Well, I am so happy to have you here because I know you have a lot to say about relationships and power conversations. And, you know, I mentioned this kind of winding career. You have done a lot, and maybe you could just share, what is it that stands out the most throughout your career that's really shaped who you are today?
I think the thing that has given me the most feedback and really has impacted me, whether it was through my chiropractic practice for years or currently as a speaker and a consultant, is the feedback when somebody comes up to me and says, "What you shared shifted my thinking and changed my life." Or when I was working with them previously as a chiropractor, when they said, "You know, what you did changed my health and changed my life." To me, it's the aspect of the transformation and watching people carry through, follow on the items, on the actions that I give them, and make a positive change in their life so that they can improve who they are.
That's awesome. I mean, that is so gratifying to know that you're shifting someone, changing their energy, their perception, and transforming their lives. I've got to ask you this because I am fascinated that you were in the Israeli military, that you are a commander. What has that done for you in terms of how you're training or how you show up as a speaker at events?
I would say that, and it's interesting, even the journey towards that, because that was something that I wanted to do from the time that I was a young child, especially after the war in 73, the Yom Kippur, or the war in October 73. And when I was aware of what was going on, that was one of the things. I wanted to be a commander in the Israeli army. And later on, when I had health challenges, I was not allowed to go through some of the traditional training. So I could not go to out to be outdoors with officer training. And yet I managed to find a way. So I was a non-commissioned officer. I wasn't a commissioned officer, which basically means I didn't have the same ranks, but I still had 80 women under my command. And I was in charge of other things in the unit. And it was a position that was, in a way, awarded to me because of some of the things that I had done in the unit. And I would say the biggest lesson from that was the idea of following through on your dream and having the tenacity to get to the level where you, no matter what, you'll find a way to achieve what you want to do, even if it may not look exactly like you planned it.
Interesting. And what about your relationships? You know, at that time, you know, being a commander, or even how you take relationships into everything that you do, how do you build trust?
Well, especially in the Israeli Defense Force, some of the things, whether it's we talk about purity of weapons, whether we talk about responsibility, you talk about really walking your talk and serving as an example. And it's your responsibility to serve as an example. That's one of the reasons why the call to leadership in the Israeli army is follow me. Oh. It doesn't mean charge. It doesn't mean go ahead of me. It means follow me. I will be the first one on the line and I will show you and live that example. And that's an example that I carried into my business with everything that I did. Whether it was working with teams when I was in chiropractic, or later on in my events, when I do events with my clients, we did an event where with a client where we were building with the executive team a circle of trust, and it was an activity, and I could see that they're a little hesitant to actually take part. I said, "Well, I'm going to do this with you guys," and the minute I said that, it shifted the energy. Because of the fact they saw I'm taking part of it, right. Even though they had some, you know, questions about the exercise, the fact that I was willing and I was participating made a difference to them. That's where a leader can take charge and show that, hey, I'm not asking you to do something that I would not do. I'm leading you. I'm showing you an example. And I might be the one that's at the helm, but I'm the same as you moving forward.
Oh, that's really good. And that embodies follow me.
Correct.
Absolutely. So, you know, somewhere along the line, you wrote a really powerful book called Power Conversations. And I read the book. There was a lot that stood out. So a couple things here with this question.
Unpack first, it.
Yeah, let's unpack this. First, maybe share what you wanted the reader to get, to the big takeaway from the book. And also, I'd love for you to go into the four personalities that you outline and how these personalities can work together. So go.
So to unpack the book a little bit, it's one of a three in a series, which I call the High Performance Triad, which relate to leadership, language, and lifestyle. And while I started with the middle one, which was the language, that's where power conversation comes in. It's really how we shape our behavior, how we speak to others, and how we live our lives that is going to make us powerful enough to draw in. You know, the concept of a leader is really not somebody that has to, you know, work really hard to bring the troops in. The concept of a leader is you're living that example and people want to, you're like a magnet and people want to come to you. So it's how do you also use your relationships and your communication with people to create that? It's not by being authoritative necessarily and telling them what they need to do, but it's about having the right influence by building that rapport. So when I look at how do we start, we really start with that connection and that conversation. And power communication, power conversations is about the communication from the minute you step into the room and create a certain presence. And how do people notice you? And how do you carry yourself? How do you shake someone's hand all the way to building those relationships, even to conflict resolution? Because there is a way to do that where you're able to be not just diplomatic and tactful, but honest, transparent, and authentic to build those relationships.
That's really good. And the personalities. So personalities shape. We are who we are, and we have to figure out how to, you know, if you're, I'm sure you're going to name the personalities, but if you're one personality, you might get along with others that might be more like you and not get along with different personalities.
Well, the trick is to really combine the personality with emotional intelligence. So when I know who I am and I'm really very well aware of who I am, that means I filled the first part of emotional intelligence. Now, in the personalities, they are derived based on, I'm certified in DISC. That's one type of assessment. There's so many out there, but DISC is one that I like because it makes it simple. And so I took some of the fundamentals and I created the four characters because I feel that people can relate to characters. If I say commander, then whether it is from real life, whether you've been in military or been somewhere where there's a commander, or whether you have someone in the family, or whether it's someone that you emulate through history, you'll have a picture in your head.
Immediately.
Now, it may not be the same picture that I have, but there's still going to be characteristics that are going to be the same. So I created the four characters, which you have the commander, which is someone who is going to be really fast paced and goal oriented, the cheerleader who's still fast paced and loves a challenge, but is really some like an innovator, the idea person, and is all about the people and the experience and the environment. And then you have the two other characters, which are going to be the caregiver. Which the caregiver are more methodical and really all about, they're very loyal, they're great listeners, and they're all about having a peaceful, safe environment. And the last one is the computer whiz. Computer whiz is all about data, information, and a process, following the rules, following the laws, and solving some of those issues. And the truth is we have a little bit of all four in us in a different blend. So when I go in, if I go in and I do a day at a company, it depends on the level. If I'm going in and I'm just doing like a company-wide event, we're not digging really deep, I'll bring those in and we'll play with those characters. And we'll even like work on how to communicate. What are the things that you like in communications? What do you not like in communications? Because now you're teaching other people how to speak with you. On the other hand, if we go and we do a deep dive, especially if I work with the executive teams, we might go and do a full deep disc. But this is still the fundamental that everybody can play with.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, reading your book, you could see how certain personalities would be okay together. Like the commander and the computer whiz might be fine, but let's say the caregiver and the computer whiz might clash a little bit, and you, right?
So it's really simple. When you look, you've got fast pace and slow pace, and then you've got fact or feeling.
Right.
So when you're next to the one that you're next to in the quad, then you basically will have some common language. It's either the pace or the idea, that whether it's feelings or whether it's facts. It's the diagonal that you have the most challenge with.
Right.
And it's so typical. If you think of somebody who's really very authoritative, has a lot of brevity, and is really a power person, that that when they run the show, they're very commanding, they're very short, they're very brisk. And then you've got the feeler.
Right, the caregiver.
The caregiver who thinks like, well, they don't like me. They take things personally because they want more of the touchy-feely conversation.
Right.
So really bridging the gap is to understand who that other person is and to know, hey, you know what? When I am speaking, maybe with my office manager, maybe with my other colleagues, maybe with my children, then I need to dial it down a little bit. And when I walk in, soften up a little bit. It does not mean I'm changing who I am.
Right.
That's the other aspect of emotional intelligence, where I know how to regulate a relationship.
And your own emotions, right? To recognize someone else's.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because then what I'll do is I'll speak their language.
Right.
And that's what it's really about. You know, if I'm going, I tell a story about how years ago I was in France and I wanted to have a good experience. Now, it's so common that people say that, you know, American and French, we clash because, oh, the Americans, they want what they want. And the truth is that if you go there, I took my little dictionary and I had at the time, and I'm dating myself, I had a Walkman with the tapes. And I'm listening during the trip on the bus when we're driving from city to city. We drove like 2 weeks around Europe. And I'm listening to the tapes and I'm formulating with my dictionary, formulating a question. And I walk up to a guy and I ask him, you know, I ask him in French. I said, quelle distance la métro avec quelle distance la Montmartre avec métro? So like, what's the distance to Montmartre? Which there was a Dali exhibit there, which I had to go see. And I said, what's the distance in through the metro, their train, the underground? And he looks at me, he goes, would English be easier? But he was so nice. Right. And it was all about the fact that I had attempted.
Tried.
I tried. And when you speak in their language, people come towards you. It doesn't matter whether it's there in France or whether it's here when I'm speaking to somebody that will still speak the same language but has a different pace or has a different primary question in the way they communicate. It's how do you reach out and invite them in?
That's right. And if you're trying, it really shows. And Karen, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to shift our focus over to the sponsor of today's episode, which is Rutledge Publishing. Rutledge, for those of you who don't know, is one of the world's leading publishers of academic textbooks and journals. And they also happen to be the publisher of my book, Answers for Modern Communicators, A Guide to Effective Business Communication. And in this book, I've answered over 150 pressing questions that modern communicators have, whether it's around reputation, social media, your brand, it could be building relationships and media. And Karen, I thought it would be fun if you answer one of the questions from my book. So,
okay, then.
Are you ready for your question?
I am ready.
All right. Well, you do a lot of training, as you mentioned, and speaking. So your question is question 36. What does it mean to command a presence in a room or on stage?
So when we look at how somebody walks into a room, that first impression that you leave with people is something that is very hard to change, because people will read things and their subconscious mind just makes decisions. So it's anything from your posture. You know, do I have good posture? Am I standing upright, or am I, you know, slumped and walking with my head to the ground? Am I paying attention to the people around me? Am I in tune? Even if I haven't started, am I in tune to the fact that there's a world with around me, or am I just sitting there and am I on my phone or in my own world? And the aspect why that is so important, because you could have a commanding presence because of stature. You could have a commanding presence because of the way you carry yourself. But will that translate to a connecting presence is really key, because the connecting presence could be something as simple as eye contact, a smile with somebody, especially if you are going to, if you're going to go on stage. If I am going on stage and there are people in the room, I'm going to make sure that, yes, while I'm organizing and maybe doing my mic check, I'm going to walk around and I'm going to meet people, because I want to make that connection and warm up the room a little bit before I even got on stage. So it's how I carry myself. It's my mindset at the same time. And it's the actions that I take to show the people that I'm comfortable and make them feel comfortable.
I love that distinction between the commanding presence and the commanding connection. So thank you so much for answering that question. And a big thank you to Routledge Publishing for sponsoring this episode of Women Worldwide. Okay, Karen, we're going to dive back into our discussion. Maybe we can kick this segment off with you sharing one of those learning moments. Does anything stand out in your mind, whether it's a, aha, I've got it, or uh-oh, shouldn't have done it, but that really helped you to move forward in a different, a better, a transformed way?
So when you said that, what came to mind immediately was a really intense day on June 1st, 1998. And that was when I was on my way to the gym. It was about 5 a.m. and I was hit head on by a U-Haul. And I ended up taken to the hospital, and I faced surgery. Now, that was during the time when I was a chiropractor. And my personal belief system is a drug-free existence. And I get to a hospital, and I'm about to have surgery because I had broken my arm, and I end up with two plates and a dozen screws. And I'm having a conversation with the surgeon. Now, mind you, I've got an angle like this right over here.
Yeah.
And the surgeon says, well, we're going to need to do an incision, and we're going to need to put some plates in, and then you're going to have some antibiotics. And I look at him and say, I don't do drugs. And he goes, I don't do surgery. Now, mind you, this was not cosmetic. I wasn't having my nose done or any other thing like that. And here we are in like a market. I said, well, how many rounds? He goes, six. I said, one. It goes three.
It's a negotiation. Seriously.
It's a negotiation. And I asked him about the percentages of the, you know, because he said that if I don't do the antibiotics, I double the risk of infection.
Right.
Now, mind you, just so you know, when I did ask him at the time the percentages of the infection, it was 99.99%. Of no infection if I didn't do drugs, 99.5% if I did take the antibiotics. So the difference of doubling that was 0.5%. However, I did not ask the right question. Because the right question at the time was, what can I do? What do I need to sign? What do I do so that I don't take the drugs? And you are also clear. So that we create in that negotiation a win-win situation. And the truth is that there was a way, and I found out later on, all I had to do was sign a waiver. But I wasn't aware of it at the time of crisis.
Right.
Because at the time of crisis, emotions tend to rise and logic comes down. So the idea of better questions, more preparedness, and really calm under pressure were some of the lessons that came from that.
Right. Wow. That's a big lesson. I mean, calm under pressure allows you to step back and actually see what the problem is and to be able to formulate those right questions. I just notice in general, and your story is really interesting, but when we face crisis, sometimes in the height of emotion, we don't even identify really what the problem is. And in order to solve it and to move forward with the right strategies and communication, if you don't get that correct in the beginning, you're so far off base. And that is truly a learning moment.
And that is also one of the things when you ask me, what are some of the things that I learned and that I learned in the Army? Some of the things that I learned even growing up, even before the Army. Those are some of the things that I learned. One of the things that is interesting, because I've had different times in my life where I was in crisis, I get calm. I get really calm and I shift into logic, which is counterintuitive for a lot of people because they shift in when there's trauma or tragedy or crisis. They get tripped up. Many people will get tripped up in emotion.
Right.
And oh my God. And where originally I might have had some of that when I was a lot younger, I've shifted. And there's almost like at a time of distress, there is a calm that just takes over so that I process and come up with solutions.
That's really interesting. I can relate to that in a lot of my work and personal situation, especially. So we lost my stepdaughter about a year ago, and I didn't know whether it was my communications training, but I went into that place of, I had to, because nobody else was, into that place of calm and what are the things that needed to be done and what was the, you know, how are we going to handle this? But that's not to say that at some point, it, in a personal situation, it hit me later what had happened. But I was able to move through the worst crisis possible personally. But then it hit hard, which is different in business.
And it's different in business. And it's important to also, as you were saying, you might have been able to handle the crisis, but it's also important later on to process the emotions.
Yes.
Because that's part of, and that's an aspect of emotional intelligence, because those emotions exist. And whereas there had been a whole movement within people that I believe kind of misunderstood part of the personal development side, and even when it got new age, where you always have to be positive and you know, cheerful and joyful,
right.
It does not mean that you ignore emotions that are not positive. It's about the choice that you have to process through them, move through them, so that you can clean the plate. Learn to neutralize some of your own personal hot buttons.
Right.
So that you're not becoming reactive.
Triggered, yeah.
Triggers, yes. And by the same token, you move through the emotions and process them, because that's about being human and that's about being healthy. It's how long do you hold on?
That's really important and excellent, excellent advice. Karen, where you are now, in your career, I mean, I'm sure there were challenges as you were building your business, getting to where you are. Can you maybe share some of the one or two of your challenges and how you tackle challenges to help listeners out there who might be facing their own challenges?
So there's, to me, I look at two types. There's the internal challenges as far as the business itself, you know, especially when I made the career shift and I moved to, it was actually kind of interesting because when I made the career shift from chiropractic and shifting into consulting and speaking, here I was where I had a long career. I had certain experiences. I had experience with marketing, with sales, with a number of things that were before, a lot of them at the time were still pre-computer and pre-internet. And I have to now translate them and I went out to seek coaches. And a lot of coaches like, oh, well, you're new in business. I'm like, no, I'm not new in business. I am in a new business, but not new in business. And ultimately, there were a lot of things that I ended up having to translate and do on my own. And I am sure that among the listeners, there are probably a lot that may have come from, maybe some that may have come from corporate and shifted and created their own business, their entrepreneurial men and women, and have gone out on their own and have had vast experience in other arenas. And all of a sudden, you know, as starting over, it's a different type of start over. That's some of the internal conflict. And it was about wrapping my head around that and about being really specific with my ask. In other words, in a nice way, when somebody is attempting to, you know, talk to you as though you're, you know, a novice in business. And I remember a specific incident where I was working with a coach and she's, you know, teaching me about funnels and pyramids. I'm like, really? Like, I said, well, this is how I did that when I ran my chiropractic office. So now I don't need to learn about that. I need to create the next step behind it. And again, it's about understanding that they may not be reading you right. They may not have asked the right questions. So it's about communicating and offering the proper information. And then there's the growth phase where when starting out in a new business, doing everything as a solopreneur. So it's about making the decisions of what will serve me best right now to grow certain areas. And growing certain areas may not necessarily be the area that you thought. Okay. As an example, I do both keynotes and consulting. There's certain fields, whether it's healthcare, finance, technology, those are some of the areas that I focus on. And yet I've got clients that land survey companies and a company that serves the busing transit companies. Those were not a market that I sought out, but they found me. And I will serve them at the highest level because of the fact that there's a connection there. So having that flexibility to not change what I'm doing, but potentially change who I'm serving and not be so stern that's not my industry. You don't know until you go in where there might be some gold in everywhere we go. There's gold in every person we meet. There's gold in every company that we approach. And if somebody is coming to you that may not be your target, they still want what you have to offer. So give them the best. Unless it's something where you have to start creating stuff that's outside your scope. And that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But in my academy, I have a certain leadership program, and I have programs that I tailor towards industries. And if that's what they want, those programs, I am happy to serve. So having flexibility, it may not look exactly having patience with yourself, because sometimes it does get frustrating. And taking care of oneself is essential. I believe that the idea that we used to have of the fact that if I don't hustle and I'm not going to put in 70, 80, 90 hours a week, I'm not doing a good job. It's not true, because you will end up breaking down. It does not mean that I have not put in sometimes 17 hour days when I'm prepping for a client and then go serve them the next day. But you better believe that once I'm done serving, I create the balance and come back to myself and maybe take the following day off completely without turning on the computer.
Sure. Because you need that. You need to refresh and rejuvenate.
Yes.
Absolutely. So Kara, thank you for sharing challenges and advice and how to get through things. Just maybe some parting advice, a top tip of yours for listeners around their power conversations. What do you want to say to Women Worldwide listeners?
You know, it's really easy to look at somebody and see how they're different from you. And our differences divide us. If we want to build a stronger, better community, look for what you have in common, because our commonalities connect us. And that is a theme in all the work that I do. Our differences divide, our commonalities unite. So look for commonalities. Look for commonalities and bridge out, reach out to someone else. They're no different. We all have fears. We all have challenges. We all have wins. Celebrate the other human being for being who they are and connect with them as an individual to reach higher levels.
Wow. You'll be so much more aligned with yourself and with others. So Karen, that was great advice. Last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work and your book?
Online. I am online. and it's really super easy because I learned the hard way. Just put it as Dr. Dr. Karen Jacobson with an S-O-N. And I am, that's the website, or Aligned Leadership Academy. That will go straight to the Academy page. But I am on Facebook. I am on LinkedIn. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram. I'm still on Google+, which if anybody out there has Google+, and just on all those platforms. So feel free to send a message and shoot me a text. Anything, if you have any questions. And you can get the book on the website as well. There's actually a page there on the shop where you type in Power Conversations. And the cool thing about the book that there's some interactive stuff, so you can get an assessment, you can get different downloads that you just, some extra freebies.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And the book is one of three parts. I think you mentioned that
was the
language part.
Yes, it's the first one that was published. I have two more that are coming out, which is going to be the leadership one and the lifestyle. Lifestyle is really more about how do we create a healthy environment for ourselves and a lot of self-care. Because in order to be a high performer, you want to make sure that you take care of yourself, body, mind, and soul.
Definitely. Well, Karen, thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your journey, for letting us know all of the actionable tips, how you overcame challenges. It really, really helped. So thank you for your time and your advice.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all you do for women worldwide, literally.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you to all of you for tuning into the show. Please keep the feedback coming. We're on Twitter. You can always reach out to me. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. I'm also on Facebook. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can watch me and my guests, like Karen, the different video segments. And also you can go to the womenworldwideshow.com website and sign up for updates. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.